Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Law by Frédéric Bastiat is a short political and economic essay first published in 1850, during a period of intense upheaval in France, written in the tradition of classical liberal thought. It argues that law should protect individual rights rather than be used as an instrument of redistribution or social engineering. Bastiat builds his case around the principles of life, liberty, and property, treating them as natural rights that exist before government itself. The book is not a technical legal treatise, but a forceful polemic against state overreach, socialism, and what Bastiat calls legal plunder. Its purpose is both philosophical and practical to define the proper limits of government and warn readers about the moral and economic consequences of letting political power serve private interests. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, natural rights as the foundation of legitimate law, Bastiat begins from the premise that human beings possess rights that do not originate in legislation. Life, liberty, and property are presented as prior to government, not gifts from it. This matters because it reverses the usual assumption that the state creates rights and then grants them selectively. In Bastiat's framework, law is legitimate only when it recognizes and protects these pre-existing rights. That principle gives the book its moral force if law is meant to safeguard what already belongs to each person. Then any legal system that violates those rights is not merely imperfect, but unjust. This natural rights foundation also explains why Bastiat speaks in absolute rather than incremental terms. He is not offering a policy balance between competing social goals. He is defining a boundary that government must not cross. The argument is especially important because it makes rights universal and limits political discretion. Law, in this view, exists to defend the individual against coercion, not to become a tool for collective preference or administrative control. Secondly, law as a negative force that prevents harm rather than directing lives. One of Bastiat's most distinctive claims is that law should be negative in character. By this he means that law should stop people from injuring one another, but should not attempt to dictate how they must live, work, believe, or exchange. This idea sharply narrows the proper role of government. Instead of using force to organize society according to a preferred plan, the legal order should simply maintain peace and protect boundaries. Bastiat is careful here because he sees coercion as morally dangerous even when justified by good intentions. If the state uses law to impose education, religion, labor arrangements, or economic direction, it ceases to be a neutral guardian of justice. The significance of this argument lies in its broad application. Once law becomes positive and directive, political authority can expand without clear limit. Bastiat therefore treats restraint as a constitutional virtue. A society that respects the negative function of law leaves room for voluntary action, diversity, and personal responsibility, while still preserving order through the prevention of direct harm. Thirdly, legal plunder and the moral corruption of redistribution. Bastiat's most famous critique is his attack on legal plunder, the use of government power to take from some people for the benefit of others. He does not deny that individuals may help one another through charity, or that social cooperation may address hardship. His objection is to making that transfer compulsory through taxation or law. In his view, once redistribution is embedded in the legal system, injustice becomes normalized because theft is disguised as public policy. This is a central insight of the book. Law can be made to serve not justice but organized extraction. Bastiat argues that such arrangements are politically seductive because they allow groups to pursue benefits at the expense of others while preserving a veneer of legitimacy. The result is not genuine philanthropy, but a distorted relationship between citizens and the state. His criticism is also institutional. If law can be used to redistribute property whenever a majority or ruling group desires, then there is no stable limit to government growth. Legal plunder turns politics into a contest over privilege rather than a framework for equal rights. Fourthly, why Bastiat sees socialism as a confusion between society and the state. The law is often read as a direct rebuttal to socialist ideas gaining influence in 19th century France. Bastiat's criticism is not limited to economic planning in the abstract. He argues that socialism confuses what society can do voluntarily with what government can impose by force. This distinction is crucial to his reasoning. Many collective aims may be legitimate as private action, but they become unjust when translated into compulsory state action. Bastiat repeatedly stresses that opposition to state control does not mean opposition to education, religion, or mutual aid. Rather, it means rejecting the use of coercive power to compel uniform outcomes. His warning is that once the state claims responsibility for social improvement, it begins to treat citizens as material to be managed. That is why he describes political paternalism as a form of domination disguised as benevolence. The deeper implication is that socialism, in his analysis, weakens both liberty and moral agency. People cease to act as responsible individuals, and instead become subjects of a system that claims to know and provide for them better than they can for themselves. Lastly, the political limits of government and the case for voluntary exchange. A practical thread running through Bastiat's essay is the defense of limited government as the best safeguard for economic and social freedom. He does not argue for the absence of government altogether. On the contrary, he sees the state as necessary for protecting rights and preventing aggression. But he insists that once government moves beyond that role, it distorts incentives, encourages dependency, and weakens voluntary cooperation. In economic terms, the book favors free exchange because voluntary transactions reveal genuine consent, whereas coercive redistribution does not. This makes the law relevant beyond its historical moment. Readers interested in entrepreneurship, taxation, regulation, or civil liberty can still see how Bastiat's framework distinguishes productive activity from political privilege. His argument is especially useful because it links institutional design to moral consequences. A state that remains within narrow limits can support justice and stability, while a state that expands into social engineering risks becoming a mechanism for favoritism and control. The book, therefore, stands as both a theory of political order and a warning about how quickly public power can be repurposed. In conclusion, The Law is best suited for readers interested in political philosophy, economics, constitutional government, and the intellectual roots of classical liberalism. It is especially valuable for students and general readers who want a concise but forceful account of why rights, limited government, and voluntary exchange matter. Because it is brief and highly focused, the book rewards close reading. Every major argument is designed to clarify what law should and should not do. Readers looking for a historical text will find it useful as a window into mid-19th century debates over socialism, taxation, and state power. Readers looking for practical insight will find enduring questions about redistribution, regulation, and the incentives created by political authority. What distinguishes The Law from many similar political essays is its clarity. Bastiat does not drift into technical detail or abstract system building. Instead, he makes a direct moral and institutional case that law must protect person and property, not serve as an engine of plunder. That combination of brevity, force, and conceptual precision is what keeps the book widely discussed more than a century later. If you would like to support Frederic Bastiat, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.